and we're going to get over and go to the building and spend and pray together. But as we are looking towards that, I want to talk to us for a few minutes about how to pray for the building, and really not just for the building. You can apply this to anything. The very well-known verses there in Luke, and we'll read them, verses 1 to 4, otherwise known as the Lord's Prayer. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When we think of what we call the spiritual disciplines, in other words, the things that God has told us to do to have a right relationship with him that really take discipline to do, Bible reading, so forth, and some of the others, we think of prayer. Of all of them, a prayer seems to be the hardest for God's people to do. It is just so easy to neglect it. It is so easy just to live your life without praying on a regular basis. It is work, okay? To sit there and have the discipline to speak to the Lord, and we've all been there if you've ever done it, you know, and your mind can wander and so forth. It can be uncomfortable, because who are we to talk and ask for things from a holy God? That's a little bit, that can be a little bit daunting if you think about it. We become easily distracted. We feel uncomfortable about it. We always say, stewardship months come in that, you know, the last thing that comes to a Christian and the first thing that leaves is giving. But really, I think prayer is right there also. Fact of the matter is, there's probably, I don't want to say that. It's probably pretty close, because it's not an easy thing to do. And it's something that we have to work out, but God wants us to do it. Now, having said that, it might be one of the most important disciplines, speaking to God and asking for his help. Someone has said, prayer is the provision for every need and the solution for every problem. And if that is true, why don't we have the provision for every need? Why don't we have the solution for every problem? Simply could be because we're not praying as we should. And so as we look towards this Giving Sunday and trying to get the building done, we need to focus on praying, okay? Now, we need to do all the things that we're supposed to do. You cannot use the fact that you pray for something as an excuse not to do your part in whatever it is. Whether it's someone that's struggling with something in their life, and it's like, you know, I want to overcome this in my life, and I've prayed, and I've asked God to help me overcome it, and I'm not overcoming it. Well, this isn't in the Bible, but it's true. Prayer without works is dead, being alone. If you pray but put no effort in, it's not going to work. But on the other hand, if all you do is put effort in without prayer, that's not going to work either. And so we need to pray, and we need to ask for God's help. So I want to give you two thoughts tonight, two points here. We won't spend a long time. Number one, first of all, I want us to see the motivation for prayer, the motivation to prayer. What the disciples said in verse 1 wasn't, teach us how to pray. Now, Jesus is going to give them a little outline. We'll look at it in a minute. But he said, teach us to pray. It could be as they saw his example of Jesus praying, they became a little intimidated in their lives. You ever been around somebody or I've read books on stuff, and it's intimidating. There's a famous little book called Power and Prayer by E.M. Bounds. I've read that book many times, and this guy knew God. And when you read that, if you're not careful, instead of being encouraged, you can be intimidated. And imagine them seeing Jesus Christ. Maybe they were a little intimidated by his prayer. By the way, the best argument for the importance of the prayer is the fact that Jesus Christ did it himself. But we don't want to be intimidated. They were asking him not just to teach them to pray, but I think they were asking him to just to pray, to give them that motivation and that encouragement to pray. That's probably one of the biggest things. We lack motivation to pray. I will give you a little outline here in a second, but outlines are great, but if we don't do it, it's no good. You can have a to-do list. You can have a, you know, how to be a successful Christian in 5 easy steps. You can have it memorized forward, backward, sideways, frontways. But if you don't do it, it doesn't help one lick. We have to pray. James 4:4 says, ye have not because ye ask not. I hope that's not the case in our lives. People have said, I wonder how many people don't get the things that they really need in life because they simply don't ask God for them. And sometimes I don't know how to pray. It's not that hard. Do you know how to talk to people? You know? And by the way, we don't need to talk to God in the language of the 1611, you know? Thou art holy, O Lord, and we dost ask that thou... Listen, if you want to do that, that's fine. But you know, God speaks today's English. Okay, not some of the stuff you guys speak, but he speaks our English today. But sometimes we're intimidated. We don't know how to pray. I remember as a new Christian, I went to the prayer meeting. They had it on Saturday night at Gethsemane. And they passed out this long prayer list, and it had the missionaries, special needs, and all this stuff. It was 8.5 by 11, full page. And I'm like, I'll pray over that thing. And I thought I was going to be a man of great faith. So I took that home. I laid it on the bed. I said, Lord, I don't know anything going on this page. There's missionaries. There's people that are sick. You know every single thing that's going on here. Can you please take care of it? Amen. And I'm like, that's faith. That wasn't much faith, okay? It wasn't very specific. But as I got to know some of the people and some of the missionaries and what their needs were, it was a little bit better. But you know what? I winked at that, but God's like at least the kid tried. Okay, at least the kid grabbed the prayer sheet and cared. Now, he was a little careless, but he did it. When we think of prayer, it's something that needs to be done. Just like James earlier in his book talked about living the word. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so there's a motivation. Before we move on, I want us to notice that God wants us to pray is not even an issue. The Bible speaks very directly and very clearly about this. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Does that mean we need to be praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? It's going to be hard to do some things if you're doing that. No, it just means prayer should always be there. It doesn't have to be just when you're on your prayer time. I like Nehemiah. Nehemiah just shot flares. You know, something would come up, and before he would answer, he's like, Lord, help me to get the right answer here, or Lord, help me to do this, and then he would give the answer. That type of mentality. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, watching thereunto at all preservation and supplication of the saints. And as I mentioned, and I already explained, Nehemiah 2:4, then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. So he's standing before the king, and the king goes, what are you asking for? Now he wanted to go back to Jerusalem and build a wall. And the king says, so what do you want? And before he answered, he prayed real quick. Lord, help me as I give this answer for him to, and then he gave the answer. That's the kind of mentality we really need to have. So the first thing about prayer in the building is that we really must just do it. I think we talked about that a few weeks ago. Just do it, okay? That's number one. So we see the motivation for prayer. Number two, I want you to see the model for prayer. The model for prayer. This is called the Lord's Prayer, although he would never pray it because he never needed forgiveness, okay? It's the Lord's Prayer because he gave it. Now, some people make the mistake of doing what we would call a rote type of prayer. In other words, they just pray this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth. Forgive us this day. That's not what he wants. He doesn't want mindless repetition. You know, like Hail Mary, full of grace, you know, swing the beads all over the place, that type of thing. He doesn't need that. That's meaningless. What he's doing here is he's giving us an outline, and he's teaching us about prayer. It's a model or pattern for prayer that we use. I want you to notice a couple things here and we'll be done. First of all, letter A underneath that, the relationship of prayer. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. That's where prayer starts. Prayer starts out of the fact that we now have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If you're a sons, if you're a sons of God, if you're a son of God, then what does God, what does that make God to you? He's your father. So when we're, excuse me. So when we're addressing him, we're addressing him based on the fact that we have a relationship. He gives a thing, you know, which of you, if your parents asked for something, you know, your bread, you'd give them a stone. We have to think of that. He's our Father in heaven. We come to him, we're coming to someone who loves us and cares for us. And so it all starts with the fact that we have a relationship. We saw the verse there in John 1:12. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, wherefore we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's nothing more important to speaking to God our Father. One time in the 60s, President Lyndon Johnson, his press secretary was there, and they were eating, and they were in some kind of meeting, and they were eating a meal. The press secretary was giving thanks for his food, and he wasn't talking out loud, and President Johnson said, hey, what are you saying? And the press secretary very respectfully said, sir, I wasn't talking to you. Okay, I was talking to God, all right? And I wouldn't have said that to the president, but more power to him. But he was talking to someone more important to president. He was talking to God Almighty, who is his father, if he's saved, when we're saved. So let's apply that to the building. We are his children, seeking to do his work, seeking to fulfill his will. Don't you think that he wants to be in on that? Of course he does. And he wants us to bring it to him. He wants us to pray about that. And so because of that relationship that he has, he wants us to come to him. So we see the relationship of prayer. Letter B, we see the requirements of prayer. The requirements of prayer. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, as in earth. In other words, what is it about praying that is a requirement? First of all, it needs to be prayed for what God wants, not necessarily for what we want. Sometimes we ask so we can consume it upon our lust. We want what we want for ourselves, and we don't necessarily want God's will. What we're trying to do is we're trying to force our will into God's will and hope that God puts a stamp of approval on it, and that never works. When we're praying because we want to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. He gives the three thys there. Thy name. All that we pray about ought to honor God's name. Honor God's name. By the way, there's something inside of children that they want that in their parents. That's why when they're little, it's like, well, my dad is stronger than your dad. You know, my dad smokes more cigarettes than your dad. Something. Dad's got to be better at something, right? Okay? And so... That's what it's talking about. Everything we ought to do ought to bring honor and glory to his name. And the things we pray about ought to be things that bring honor and glory to his name. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we cannot bring needs before him that we have. Understand that. But God, if he answers, he's answering so that we are giving him the glory for what he did, not that we can just get what we want. Thy kingdom. Prayer isn't about asking God for what we want to accomplish on this earth. We're asking what things that God wants us to have to accomplish what he wants to accomplish on this earth. In other words, it's his work, not ours. I have no problem asking God to bless and give for the building and all the different things we're doing here because it's not our work. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about fulfilling what he told us to do. If we're supposed to get the Great Commission out, don't you think God wants to be involved in funding that through his people? Because he gave me the commission. I didn't give it to myself. You didn't give it to yourself. So it his kingdom. What furthers, and I don't like to use that term because Neil's kind of used that over wear it out, but in a sense, thy kingdom. I remember I was trying to get a loan for the church many years ago, and there was a Christian organization I was talking to and a non-Christian organization. And I was talking to the Christian organization. I said, we're going with a non-Christian organization. And the guy goes, well, I understand that, but don't you think that we'll be a better steward of God's money than that bank would? I said, they're offering a better rate. Don't you think that's a better stewardship for our church? And he didn't have an answer for that. But that's what it's about. And then thy will. The purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done on earth. It's to get God's will done on earth. The best way we know God's will is to know his word. You see the verse there in John. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. You know, sometimes we just don't pray because we don't understand the Our Father part. Okay? He wants us to pray to him, and he wants us to pray for his honor and glory. And then lastly, I want you to see the request of prayer. He makes several of them here that ought to be a part of our daily prayer. And it does relate to the building. He says in verse 3, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, as for we forgive everyone also that one that's indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So what are the requests? First of all, he wants us to ask for provision. Wait a minute. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, most of us pretty much knew this morning before we left the house whether or not we had food for today. Okay? Most of us pretty well had that one nailed. You know, you open the fridge, it's all good. So why do I have to pray about it? Because God's the one that gave you that. And if you want God to keep giving it to you, you ought to keep asking him for it. Well, I have a job, you know, so I don't need God's help. You know, that could change really fast. That could. God could just knock the crutches out. You say, well, I work hard. And by the way, God commends hard work. But God's the one that gives you the strength to work hard. God's the one that gave you that job. And God could just as easily take it away from you. So to keep us from being proud and to keep us humble, we should daily ask God to meet all of our needs in advance. You say, well, my needs are taken care of. I mean, we've had a good day. We've had a good time. I've been good with the money, and the money's in the bank for the next month. And by the way, there have been times I've been living on, you know, paycheck to paycheck, and it's the paychecks in the future that I'm living off of already, all right? You know, and that type of thing. But now it's not like that. But you know what? We still need to ask God to keep meeting our needs. Give us our daily bread. Then he talks about forgiveness. Forgiveness. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. I sure hope so. Forgiveness. By the way, you want to shut down prayer? You want to shut down God listening to you when you pray? Don't forgive somebody. Okay? Let bitterness seep in. You cannot be right with God. You cannot be right with God if you're not right with others. Well, I love God. It's just Christians irritate me. Get in line, cowboy. Okay? We let little things get to us. We let something happen, and all of a sudden, we just can't get over it. We'll use it as an excuse to bail out on God, when really the excuse is we just don't want to serve God in the first place. Or we let it seep in, and we're trying to serve God, but we don't get over that thing, and we wonder why we struggle. We've got to be forgiving people. And he tells us, forgive us. We need forgiveness from God, but we also need to forgive other people. It's like the story of the man, and he owed a great amount of money, and if you owed money, they could make you a servant to start getting the money. And this guy owed a great amount of money, and he was taken to the debtor's prison, and he, Lord, forgive me, give me time, I'll pay you back. And the guy felt compassion and forgave him his debt. And then that guy went, and a guy owed him a little amount of money, and grabs by the collar and he's going to mistreat him. He didn't extend the forgiveness of somebody else that was extended to him. By the way, before we think, well, you know, they don't deserve forgiveness. Have there ever been a time in our life that we don't deserve forgiveness? Okay? So let's make sure we work on that. And then last, guidance. And lead us not into temptation. That doesn't mean because you can find it yourself. Okay, I've seen that bumper sticker. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Could it be the reason we get ourselves into sinful trouble is because we don't pray that? That ought to be on your prayer list. Now, we're supposed to keep ourselves from temptation by being careful, but we ought to say, Lord, just please lead me away from that. If there's anything today in my life that I would go through that would lead me towards temptation, would you allow me to sidestep that and deliver me from evil, Lord? So that's the plan of prayer. Let's pray this evening.